Wisconsin lawmakers recently passed, and Governor Walker signed into law, $100 million in grants, up to $100 million in grants for school safety. They will be administered by the Department of Justice, which is run by Attorney General Brad Schimel. General, thanks for coming back in.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Steve.
I want to start with two sentences, and it comes from the leader, the executive director of the Wisconsin School Safety Coordinators Association. Wisconsin has experienced a significant increase in both threats and violence in our schools within recent years. First sentence. National data from the Educator School Safety Network shows that Wisconsin ranks in the top 10 states experiencing such threats and violence. I didn't know that until I got ready for the show. Why are we in the top 10?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, and I know certainly the threats happen. Now, when you define the violence, I'm not sure what their definition of violence is, so it'd be very difficult to respond to.
Okay. Let's just deal with the problem overall. Do you think the incident rate is higher in Wisconsin urban schools, suburban, rural? Where do you think is most prevalent, sir?
Well, what we're trying to address with the Office of School Safety and the initiatives we're putting in place is that person outside the school coming in to commit violence on the students and staff that are in the school. When it comes to that, we're certainly not in the top 10 because we haven't had those incidents happen in Wisconsin, but you don't ever take that for granted.
But we're crossing our fingers.
Yes, you
can
always be. We did have an incident in Antigo 2 years ago, I think, where it came to a prom night thing.
Right.
And we were very fortunate that there were two police officers in the parking lot that put a stop to that threat very quickly, and there were only minor injuries out of that. Gunshot wounds, but not life-threatening. That can happen any time. And as a matter of fact, we were preparing for this the day before the Florida tragedy. We had the Wisconsin Chiefs of Police Association were meeting at their annual conference in the Dells.
Mm-hmm.
And we had brought in a mom from Connecticut who was also a teacher, but that mom lost her daughter at Sandy Hook Elementary School. She was there that day putting on a seminar for law enforcement on what you can do to make your schools safer and prevent these kind of attacks. And it was a great presentation. She was a keynote speaker at dinner. And then after her remarks, the president of the association got up and said, now I want all of you chiefs in the room, to go back to your districts and invite your school administrators to come with you to our August conference.
Mm-hmm.
So we had these things in place because we recognized we're not immune.
And this conference, April 13th, the day before Parkland?
Yes.
What was your reaction on the first time you heard about the tragedy in Parkland?
Well, these are heartbreaking. My kids are in high school right now. And it's frightening to know that's a possibility. And then in the days after that, we did see a number of threats that were made against schools in Wisconsin, including the school my kids go to.
How secure, generally, are Wisconsin schools? And the reason I ask, reading from a DOJ press release, just two phrases, not all schools have made necessary security upgrades, but some schools have already made critical investments. So it sounds like we're all over the map.
We are. And so that's why with the grants, we put them into two levels, the primary grants and then the advanced grants. We want to make sure that every school in the state gets to the level of the primary security grants, that we have locking classroom doors, that we have a secured front entrance that will slow down or stop, hopefully, anybody who's trying to come in to commit violence with a gun.
And that's the primary. Now, what's the second tier of
grants?
Well,
the secondary goes...
Advanced?
The advanced grants can go to a whole lot of things, but we'll get every school up to that baseline. And beyond that, then, we could be talking... The schools could be applying for exit alarms. They could be applying for video surveillance. All of this includes training for teachers and staff in trauma-informed care, in how to handle a critical incident when it happens at the school, adverse childhood experiences, all these things. All this is part of what could be possible. The real key is that we want to let the local school districts work with their local law enforcement and decide what's best for them. In those advanced grants, they pick what's best for their school district to make use of this money.
You've been looking at the issue pretty hard since you're going to administer $100 million. What's the ideal protocol for someone trying to enter a Wisconsin K-12 school? What should happen?
There should be only one entrance.
One entrance?
That they could get in, and that should be someone that has to let them in that entrance. And then any other ways in should have something that keeps them from getting in, even if they just so they can't just shoot the glass out, for instance, like happened at Sandy Hook Elementary. You've got to harden that more. And there are materials available that can make that glass shatterproof so that a person can't just shoot the glass out and walk in.
Let's break that down. So I approach a school, I push a button, I am visually seen, and then I'm allowed in. Should I have to go through metal detectors or something?
That's going to be up to the school.
How much are those babies?
Well, the cost of the metal detector is probably less the challenge than the cost of having someone man it. And a metal detector is not the answer to all problems. We have them in many of the courthouses in the state. And if a person's coming in determined to commit harm with a mm-hmm. weapon, they just have to take out the person who's manning the metal detector. It's not a panacea. That's where we want the school districts and local law enforcement to work together to come up with what works best for them.
When you met with the chiefs of police across Wisconsin, is there a universal recognition? Unfortunately, it could happen here.
Absolutely. That's exactly why the conference was being held in that manner. Absolutely.
What percentage of school shooters have some connection with that school?
You know, I don't know the number nationally. I've never looked at what the statistics would be, but the ones I see always are that they're coming back to some place that they have a relationship with.
Like the Parkland shooter had gone to school there.
Yeah.
And then went back into school and then came out with his arms up and he was eluded or he was caught later.
And the school in Antigo, that person was a former student at that school.
Let's talk about the debate over school safety. Let's talk about one thing. Some advocate, as you know, tougher gun laws. Is that any type of a solution?
We have 300 million guns in America, and many of them are semi-automatic weapons like what we see so often being used. We're not going to collect those guns up, and I don't think we should. The answer is we need to look at making our schools less attractive targets, less vulnerable to an attack. And you've got to strike a balance. These are still children going to school. We can't have them like they're going to a prison or a military fortress. Somewhere in between no security measures and something that extreme is the right place to land.
Could Wisconsin ban bump stocks?
I don't know that makes a difference. The only circumstance I'm familiar with where bump stocks were involved were in that terrible tragedy in Las Vegas. We sought with this Office of School Safety to find something that we could reach consensus on. We got that bill through the legislature in less than 2 weeks, I think. And it got passed, signed, and we're in a position now to hopefully be able to award this grant money or the vast majority of it by the middle of June so that schools can do the projects to have their facilities safer by the time kids come back to school this August. That's worth pursuing. One of the criticisms the mom who lost her daughter at Sandy Hook had is that every time these things happen, we argue for months about things that are out on the extremes, and no one ever comes together and does anything. And she was there recommending to the chiefs, find these practical consensus solutions and follow them. Much of what we proposed in the Office of School Safety, we took directly from the talk that we heard from that mom.
Some Democrats are saying, let's ban assault weapons. Your response?
Well, define what an assault weapon is.
I can't, but
right.
something that fires semi-automatically with great volume and very lethal. That's my unofficial definition.
The majority of guns sold in America, I believe, are semi-automatic.
Okay.
So, and when you say ban them, do you mean prohibit the further sale of them, or do you mean we're going to go out and knock on people's doors or kick people's doors down and get them? Those arguments will go on and on, and we'll never get to a solution because you do have to look at the Second Amendment rights that are involved here, and courts haven't made that conclusion that these guns, that a semi-automatic rifle or a semi-automatic handgun is something that's so inherently dangerous that the government can or should ban them. But again, I'm not interested in those debates. This is not about going after law-abiding gun owners.
Mm-hmm.
We should be doing better at identifying the people who shouldn't have guns. in Florida. The terrible irony in all this is all the signs were there, and they got ignored. That we cannot let happen.
Florida Governor Scott signed a bill raising the age to buy from 18 to 21. You don't support that, do you?
Again, it's not a panacea. That's not going to solve all of our problems, because when you look at Sandy Hook, that killer did not even buy a gun. He murdered his mother and took her guns. We have to avoid these kind of things that seem like a simple solution but won't do anything in the end, because when a person wants to get their hands on a gun for evil purposes, they're going to find a gun. And we are not going to collect up all the guns in America, and we shouldn't. Let's look at solutions that we can get consensus on and move forward on practical changes.
The $100 million cannot go to arm SROs, school resource officers, or teachers or guards, correct?
Right. We are prohibiting the use of the money for any personnel salary costs, because there just isn't enough money here to do that.
Right.
And school districts should look at whether those things make sense to them.
So under some local option, a school district should consider arming a school resource officer or a counselor or even classroom teacher?
Typically, school resource officers are armed, and that's a contract with the local law enforcement agency. Other options could be that the school district can, under the law, enter into a contract with perhaps a retired law enforcement officer or off-duty law enforcement officers to provide security. They could contract with other security agencies. Those are all things for local districts to consider, whether that makes sense for them. When it comes to the question of teachers being armed, that's a much bigger question. I was asked about this in the context of a bill that had been in front of our legislature, proposing that we let local school districts make that decision for themselves. I support local control. I do think that instead of the state dictating the rules on this, we ought to let local school districts decide, do you want to consider this option? But then, of course, no one's talking about forcing any teacher to be armed or forcing a teacher to take on a security role. They have a different job. This would be purely on a voluntary level, but again, that is all a legislative determination. My offer relative to all that was, if all of those things happen and there is any teacher who wishes to be armed in a school, we will train them, because this is much more important than just having a concealed carry license type training. We would make sure that they had some munitions training, that they engaged in some live fire training so they understand what it sounds like and what it smells like and what it's like, and then have simulation drills.
Is there money for school grants to instruct teachers in how to behave during some of these incidents when there is a lockdown?
Yes.
So that's going to be part of it?
That's part of what they can do. Train staff at the school to know what steps to take. That's really critically important, because we know from looking at past incidents, and I'll look at Sandy Hook again, classrooms that were locked were not entered by the shooter. If we can secure that classroom, you make it less likely that your students in that room become a target, and the more teachers that lock up the rooms.
That term that you used, to harden Wisconsin schools, what does that mean? Both the entrance and access doors in terms of the internal hallway doors?
Make them less vulnerable, that a person who's not supposed to be in that building has a hard time getting in.
How widespread is the practice of school resource officers and counselors now being armed in Wisconsin? Is it fairly common or no?
Well, school resource officers are all armed. I'm not aware that any of them go unarmed. Those are on-duty police officers.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're a sworn officer, I completely understand.
Right.
But someone who is working security in a K-12 school in Wisconsin who's not a police officer, how widespread are any of them armed?
I do not know the answer to that.
Okay. The other part of this, we've talked about gun control laws and we've talked about arming school employees. Let's talk about mental health resources. How big of a component is that of this debate, General?
Well, with the money we have, $100 million seems like an awful lot of money. It certainly is. But there are 3,100 public and private schools in Wisconsin. When you divide that out, that's about $32,000 per school. We're only going to be able to do so much work with that much money. But the but one of the things that's required is that in order to get any grant money, the school has to demonstrate that they either already have trained their staff on trauma-informed care and adverse childhood experiences, or they have to certify that they will do it by the end of the 2018-2019 school year, because we recognize that as critically important. So often, the signs that this person may have problems in the future are there for us to see. Teachers tell me all the time that they can tell, even in the early grades, which kids are going to have problems using drugs, which kids are going to have problems getting along with their classmates, which ones are likely to be bullied, all those things, which ones are going to be bullies. They often can know that very young. If we can train the people in the schools to help recognize that and then know what to do, because oftentimes, what is the answer when you've got a kid that's struggling because of things typically that are happening in their home life?
Didn't the bill that was passed say that schools either have to train their teachers for 3 hours or make plans to train?
Right. Yes.
Three hours is not a long time, although I'm well aware of how busy teachers are.
Yeah. In 3 hours, we can provide an awful lot of training on what a person should do, how you recognize the signs that someone has experienced trauma in their lives, and then what to do. It's not to train that teacher to be their therapist. It's to train that teacher to recognize the signs and then know what referral to make.
You just spoke about how, yes, $100 million sounds like an awful lot of money, but we have how many schools?
3,100.
And MPS has 154, and Madison has 50. So here's my question. Is there a limit on how much any school district or any one school could get in a grant, General?
Well, we do want to make sure that the money does not all fall in one place. And we're really looking, in terms of a school district, it's going to be based instead on the number of on each school in the district. So it's 3,100 schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to take one district and say, well, you have a lot of schools, so we're going to reduce your per school number. No, we're going to divide it out. We're looking for every school in Wisconsin to get some portion of this money to make improvements. Many have done a lot of things already, like the interior door locks, the exterior door locks, video systems, exit alarms and things. They've done that already. Those schools can find some other innovative things, hopefully, but we may end up spending more money proportionally on the schools that haven't done much of that yet.
Local residents are generally passing a lot of referendums for new schools and remodeled schools. Is there a large school safety component every time you're building a new school or remodeling an old school?
Yeah, as I've been to schools that are newer in nature, they definitely have built in those kind of things. They have secure doors when you enter. They don't have multiple different entryways for the public. It is limited. That's something. And they put locks on the classrooms.
The grants can go to both public schools and private schools.
Correct.
How does that get around the separation of church and state?
Well, those are students whose parents are taxpayers. This isn't the state sanctioning a religion. I mean, some private schools are not religious in nature, but many of them are. But we're not sanctioning that you're Catholic or you're Lutheran or you're Jewish or whatever. That's not got nothing to do with it.
Okay.
You are a school recognized by the State Department of Public Instruction, therefore you qualify.
Talk about the process. Has DOJ already received some apps? Or how many? Is there a deadline?
The deadline
grants?
Is June 8th.
June 8th.
And we want the schools to apply for both levels of grants right away.
Primary?
Yep, primary and advanced. Right at the same time, we're looking to be getting all these things out as quickly as we can. We'd urge schools, don't wait until June 8th. Put this together as quickly as you can. But they have some requirements. They are required to meet with their local law enforcement to put together safety plans and to put together these recommendations. We want this to be a collaborative effort. That's one of the long-term goals of this whole process, is to develop that relationship more so that law enforcement does play a stronger role in keeping our schools safe and not just responding when someone dials 911.
Talk about your goals for the 2018-2019 school year and 2019-2020. If it all works efficiently and as you envision, what would be done next school year and then the following?
Well, we'll be following up now. After the initial grants go out, we'll have quite a bit of work to follow up and make sure that schools are reimbursed for the work they do, that the work they're doing complies with what they had submitted in their original plan. administering grants and monitoring compliance with grants is a labor-intensive process.
Right.
You know, I don't know whether the legislature will provide any more funding in the next budget to do this again, to offer some more money.
Should they?
I think it's going to depend on what level we get to through this process. We think we'll use about a third of the money to fund those primary grants, and that the remaining money is going to go to advanced security grants. So we'll take a look at where we're at when we get through the process.
$100 million safety grants, short-term solution. What's the longer-term solution to this school violence issue?
Well, I would characterize it differently because this is intended to be a long-term solution, that these are not things like hiring a school psychologist or a school resource officer for a year and then not knowing what you're going to do after that. These are things that are intended to be long-term. And even with the training for teachers and administrators, the grant money can be used for train-the-trainer type programs so that you've got somebody that long-term can continue that training when you have new staff or new refreshers for the existing staff. So actually the key to this is that this is going to develop a long-term relationship with law enforcement, develop facilities upgrades that are long-term in nature, and that training that this is long-term in nature.
Do you, they have to apply by June 8. Do you have a deadline to let them know up or down?
We don't have a statutory deadline to do this, but it's important to us to get this money in the hands of schools so they can do these projects over the summer and be ready in the fall. So that's our self-imposed deadline, is we're looking to get these grants out by mid-June.
When a school district submits a grant, what level of review? How many eyes are going to go on it, and will there be a site visit?
We would not be able to do a site visit at 3,100 schools. We're going to be relying on the safety.
Should that
plan.
Local police department or sheriff's department do the site visit? Excuse
That's
me
what's
for
happening.
Interrupting you.
That's exactly it. We're counting on the school district and local law enforcement to work together to develop their safety plan. That's exactly what we're counting on.
We have some very old schools in Wisconsin, and at MPS they have unique needs. There are metal detectors in MPS high schools, aren't
right.
there?
So I think in some, yeah.
You have a big disparity, don't you? So these grants have to take into consideration the age of the school, and they have to work with their local officer?
Yeah.
It's just intriguing. Okay, I'm going to tell a personal story. I'm a literacy volunteer at a Madison Elementary School. I work with first graders. Number one, sometimes fourth, third graders open the door, go on their way to the lunchroom. Number two, on election day, they're constantly voters coming in of that because it's a polling place. Isn't that an example of how tough a job it is to make our schools secure, General?
It absolutely is, and I think that when you've got voters coming in and out on election day, the school probably ought to be taking steps to make sure that that doesn't create an enhanced security risk for the kids and the staff at that school that voters are coming in and out. Don't make that an opportunity day.
Well, it's just kind of frightening when I'm working with a literacy kid, first grader, and another fourth grader opens the emergency door. It's just interesting. What are realistic expectations of $100 million? Assume you get it out there. I mean, people might have a tendency to say, oh, I'm sending my child off to a school and it's going to be safe, but there must be a but to that.
Well, we're first off going to get every school to that baseline level of security that these very important, common sense, relatively easy structural things are in place. Now, I say that there are open concept schools that don't have doors that you could lock. And for those schools, they're going to have to be looking to the advanced security grants to try to address how do we increase security at that school. It may take dramatic changes. But ultimately, We need to get every school to that level, and then we want to get every school another notch or two up. And there may be more work to do in the future, but this is a good start, and we're moving in the right direction. And I think we could very well have been in a position that we could be still arguing. The legislature goes out of session and nothing gets accomplished this year. I'm proud of the legislature for taking this up, getting this done quickly, and they can argue about other issues or debate other issues for whatever length of time they need, at least we're making some progress here.
Do you expect all 424 school districts to submit at least one app on behalf of at least one school?
Absolutely.
Has anybody said, we're not going to go for this?
Not that I've heard of. I expect all 3,100 schools will have something that they will seek money for.
Okay. And any thoughts on down the line? This money was appropriated for how many years? One, two, three, or what?
Oh, it's going out now. Yeah, so
you expect it all to be gone during this biennium?
I do.
And next steps, what you might recommend in the next session, assuming
we're going to see what level this gets us to for schools, and we'll want to take a look at what things were out there that we weren't able to fund. That will give us some idea about what steps might make sense in the future.
What does it tell us about American society that we're here talking about making schools safe?
To me, it tells us that we have not adequately addressed mental health problems. And you see the same thing as we look at the drug epidemic in Wisconsin and across the nation. So often, when people start down the path of abusing drugs, it's because of some traumatic experience. It's because of something in their life that caused them to have emotional harm, mental illness. We need to be better at identifying those things and helping people resolve those problems.
That's the ACEs test.
Absolutely.
Where
it's part
of it. Where someone's asked about up to 10 categories,
yeah.
And if you score high on that, you're more likely to do that.
We need to be better. We need to address mental health issues better.
So we're taking a big step with the $100 million grants, and the agency will be announcing the first grants how soon?
Oh, I expect that by early June we'll start announcing some of the first awards, because we've got, I don't know the number, we've got quite a few grant requests that are completed and turned in already. So it's gonna grow fast, and we're already hard at work.
Okay. General, thanks very much for a very important topic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.